I was actually excited about this message. The Lord had me kind of adjust my message for you this morning. And I'm excited when I get new things. We're talking about prayer changes things, subtitled, Give Me This Mountain. If you have your notes, you can follow along with us. And in a few weeks, I'm hoping to transition us into electronic notes. So most of you have a smartphone. We can just send our notes. We'll have an app. We can send our notes right to you. And I think that will be a more efficient way for you to keep them all along. We'll keep doing some paper notes for everyone who has a stupid phone instead of a smartphone. Or maybe you have a smartphone that's acting stupid. The book of Joshua, the 14th chapter. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. For the 9 tribes and a half, for Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half on the other side of Jordan. But to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph had 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they gave no part to the Levites in the land. The Levites' inheritance was the presence of God, except cities to dwell in, with their common lands and their livestock and property. As the Lord had commanded Moses, the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. So the book of Joshua is about inheriting what God did in the book of Exodus. It's all about inheritance. The word inheritance in these verses, in these 15 verses, is used 8 times. It is the emphasis word. It is the dominant theme. So that's my message to you today, that you have a purpose for your life. Before God made you, God wrote a script about your life called destiny. And the Bible describes that script as predestination, that God knew you, knew what you'd look like, the color of your eyes, the height of your body, your shoe size, your everything about you, your acumen, your personality, your dispositions, your history. God knew everything about you. And in the script of your life, God says, this mountain is Michael Maiden's. And God gave me a territory, and God gave you a territory, an assignment, a destiny, a dream, a purpose for life. So it's important, because we are the Moore generation. We are the Joshua generation. And the Moses generation celebrated what God did by bringing them out. God brought them out of 400 years of slavery. He delivered them from Egypt. Egypt literally means the place of double limiting extremes. It's a portrait of living in the world without Christ. Double limiting extremes. He delivered them from Pharaoh, whose name means the spoiler king. Pharaoh was a type of Satan. They took on the Passover a blemishless lamb, a spotless lamb, and they took the blood of that lamb and they marked the doorpost of their house. And that night, when the angel of destruction came over, it passed over every house where there was blood. And by the blood of Jesus, the grace of God has allowed us to pass over the judgment against sin. We've been forgiven of all of our sin by the blood of Christ. Amen? Grace is Jesus plus nothing by what Jesus has done. So it's wonderful to be forgiven. And they were brought out, and so they came out, and God says, oh, before you come out, I want you to spoil, to plunder the Egyptian empire. And in one day, the poorest nation in the world that had been in slavery for 400 years became the richest nation in the world, and the richest nation in the world became the poorest nation. They plundered the Egyptians and took from their silver and gold and silk and jewels and treasures, and they loaded them up and carried them out. And while they were crossing over, they came to the Red Sea, and God parted the Red Sea. They walked over on dry ground. The Egyptian army came after them, and God swallowed them up in the Red Sea. It's a portrait of water baptism, where God cuts off our past from taking us back and affecting our future. Buried with Christ, risen in resurrection. They went into the wilderness, and by day, God put a massive, beautiful cloud that shaded them from the harsh desert sun. And by nighttime, an incredible flame of supernatural fire, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who gives us power to be witnesses, who fills us with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So they're forgiven. They're baptized in water. They're baptized in the Spirit. They're hungry now. So God sends manna. Angels feed them with this heavenly bread. And the Bible says for 40 years, every morning they get their manna. And no one was sick among them for 40 years. Manna is a type of God's word. Give us this day our daily bread, our manna. For man shall not live by what he eats alone, but by every word spoken by the mouth of God. And so he sent his word. And so they were freed. They were delivered. They were forgiven. Come on, I begin every morning of my life say, thank you, Papa, for forgiving all my sins. Thank you for adopting me into your family. Thank you for abundance of grace. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. Thank you for justification, sanctification, glorification. Thank you for your glorious kingdom, your eternal word, your abiding spirit, your beautiful church. Thank you, Papa. I thank him and I rehearse all that he's done for me. Let the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom the Lord has redeemed out of the hand of the, you're no longer under the kingdom of darkness. You're no longer under the Pharaoh of Satan. You're no longer under the government of the world. You're no longer bound by the constructs and the constraints of a lost world. You've been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free, 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 free indeed. They came out and they're singing the song of Moses. Miriam led them, tambourine dancing. They danced into victory as they watched God swallow up their enemies. And God says, you know what? I'm not done. I brought you out of Egypt, but I'm going to bring you into Canaan. And they came to a place called the Jordan River, and they made a camp there and formed a little temporal city, Kadesh Barnea. It was only supposed to be, the wilderness wasn't supposed to be the place where they lived and died. It was supposed to be the transition season between two places, the beginning of their faith and the fulfillment of their destiny. They sent over 12 spies, and they came back with a mixed report. Two of them said, we can do it. We can take Canaan. But 10 of them said, there's a problem there because there's giants there. There's walled cities and great armies. We can't do it. And so an entire generation only got half of their inheritance because they only wanted out of something and never wanted into something. But my friends, you are the inheritance generation. You are the Joshua generation. Come on. You are the... We want more. Well, what does that mean? More of the, yes, we want more of God's love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. More of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, gifts of feeling, faith, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Yes, yes, more of the Holy Spirit. We want more of those. But also, we want more of the heart of God as it relates to our purpose. Why am I here? The great philosophical questions of life. Who am I? Why am I here? What should I do? Where am I going? What should I have? They're all answered in your destiny. You're here because God called you. Are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people that you might show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness. You're here because God wants you here. You're alive because God needs you alive. And there's a reason, a destiny, a purpose, a meaning for your life. You have an inheritance. So they're talking about inheritance, verse 6. And by tribes and then by families in tribes, every family got an inheritance. Every tribe a geographical assignment. The children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. The word Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. It's the Old Testament or Hebrew word for Jesus. Yahshua HaMashiach, our Savior Messiah, the Anointed One. So Joshua, Jesus, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word of the Lord, which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Now listen to me. Leaders have to go where they want people to go. They have to do what they want people to do. They have to eat where they want people to eat. You can't take people where you won't go. You can't feed people what you won't eat. You can't help people do what you've not done. And so spy is a portrait of prophetic leadership. Go out there and see and tell people what they can do and be. Tell them what God has for them. Tell them their inheritance. And so Caleb now, his name means forceful. It means attack. It means boldness, wholehearted dog. So this man now is being bold. He's talking to Joshua, who's, like I said, a portrait of Jesus. And he said, you remember that word that I was promised when I was 40? Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land that your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance. Someone shout inheritance. And your children's forever, because you've wholly followed. Every family has an inheritance. Every generation has an inheritance. In all of history, there's only one other generation with as much prophetic promise as this generation. The first coming of Christ, the Bible speaks of repeatedly. But then in the last days, the day of the Lord, is the rich prophetic inheritance. That time is this time. And he said, I have wholly followed God. And then he said this, now the Lord's kept me alive. Someone say, I'm alive. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're alive. Now listen to me. The enemy doesn't care that you're saved as long as you never find or experience your inheritance. He doesn't care about Christians gathering together and praying for the rapture. I believe in the second coming of Christ. I believe the Bible tells us he will come for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I believe Psalm 110 says, when his enemies are made his footstool. I believe that when the whole earth is filled with his glory, I believe God's waiting for something. The trigger mechanism for the coming of Christ is not the bad things that are happening in the world today. It's the good things happening in the kingdom today. And the more we focus on that, the more ready we can become. So the promises of Scripture reveal God's will, but the prayers of his saints fulfill God's will. So when people don't know what God has for them, they're always praying in a diminished way. But God wants you to pray some remarkable, world-shaking, history-making prayers, because you're a mountain taker, you're a history maker, you're a world shaker, you're the Joshua generation, you're here by a divine assignment, by divine appointment. If you're not praying for God to give me a mountain, something's wrong. And today that's going to be fixed. Every life has a God-given purpose. When you discover your purpose, you awaken your passion. And when you have passion, you pray like Caleb, who said, give me. So here he is now. Verse 10, the Lord's kept me alive. Your destiny is stronger than death. He said this, I'm 85 years old. Death's tried to take me. But what I dreamed of when I was 40, what God showed me when I was... Your dream is stronger than disease. Your destiny is stronger than premature death. Come on. How appropriate. You know, I wrote this message a long time ago. How appropriate we're celebrating our own Caleb, Mrs. Caleb. I've run in Tompkins today on her 85th birthday, because God's not done with her story either. She is our Caleb. And so he said this, the things, listen to me. When you see the future, God talks to you about your future. When you download it, every enemy you face today, you have authority over, because your destiny is stronger than your enemy. When people don't have a download of destiny, they become engulfed by things they should have authority over. And they're praying small prayers and they're trying to survive because But God, whenever God talks to you today, he'll talk to you about tomorrow. God comes where we are, but he talks about where we're going to be. He'll always, because when you see what he has for you, when you see your inheritance, when you dream the dreams of God, this is the dream room. When God talks to our hearts and reveals his will, visions, dreams, and prophecy, the word of God coming alive to show us his will for our life so that we may receive our inheritance. And Caleb said, I'm alive. The Lord kept me alive Think of all the accidents that tried to kill you, the disease in your childhood, the dysfunction in your family, the things, the overdose, that thing, all the things, but that, my God, you couldn't die because there's destiny. You couldn't die because there's a dream. You couldn't die because there's something for you to see and do. The Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this, it's never too late to fulfill your destiny. Stop using your age as an excuse to check out of your destiny. I don't care if it's a young person or an old person. Come on, all you baby boomers, it's time to boom. While Moses wandered, spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, now here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong. This day is on the day that Moses sent me. Your destiny has healing for every battle you'll face between now and its fulfillment. Yeah, it's good to pray for the sick, but it's also good to know your future and to see a dream God has for you, to see the vision God has for your life, because in that vision is embedded divine health to get you there. God wouldn't show it to you without empowering you to get there. Come on, while I'm speaking, the spirit of premature death is being broken off of families in this room. Watching. Just as my strength was then at 40, so is my strength for war, both going out and coming in now. So he said all of that for verse 12. Here's my message. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. All prayer is important. Every prayer we pray is important. But the most powerful prayer you will ever pray are the prayers associated with and directed to the mountains of your purpose and destiny that God's assigned your life. There are certain areas where you have heavenly jurisdiction to release the will of God. And when you preach and pray and prophesy about those things, everything shifts because God gave you that territory. Come on now. Every time you pray for you can pray for your family unlike anybody in the world. Yes, I can pray for them. But when you pray for your family, because it's your mountain, it has more authority than any voice in the world. Yes, I can pray for your business. But when you pray for your business, you have authority unlike anybody in the world. And when you know what mountain God's called you, when you know your inheritance, your destiny, your purpose, your prayers have a specific dynamic that is unreachable by any other method. Okay, give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke in that day. I want my mountain. I was driving, we just started the church 11 years ago. I was driving down I-17 after the 101 coming around the loop. And just like he was sitting beside me in the car, I was listening to worship music and just kind of, enjoying the drive. And I heard a voice, just like it was a human being, said to me, Phoenix is your promised land. Since that day to this day, I have never doubted that I have authority that's unique in the city. This is my promised land. When you find your place, the prayers you pray there have more authority than any other person. Okay. Give me this mountain. And he said, for you've heard in that day how the Anakim, the giants, a race of giants, a family of giants were there. The cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite to this day, because he wholly, it's a play on words, wholly means forcefully. It's a play on his very word. Because he fulfilled his personality, found its purpose. His passion found its purpose. His boldness found its divine calling. Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel, And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba, city of Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest for more. Anoint your servant, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm almost done with my message. I should pray for anointing. So Caleb says, I know what's mine, and I want it. Jesus loves to hear the voice of his people say, give me my mountain. When the church is silent concerning inheritance issues, because of a false humility that says, I don't want anything, whatever. No, yes, want Jesus. Amen. Ask for Jesus and then ask for Jesus. Ask for more of Jesus and ask Jesus to do more. Ask of me, I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, the othermost parts of the earth for your possession. God wants to shake the world. You're a world shaker. You're a chosen generation. And he said there, I know there's problems there. Now please get this. Your assignment will always have giants in it. Your purpose will always have problems in it. Because you're a problem solver and a giant defeater. Stop misinterpreting your inheritance because something's wrong. Oh, Pastor, my family is so dysfunctional, but every family has a blessing God put into it. If you can overcome discouragement, you can get your family's blessing. Don't let, because inside of your destiny is authority over your enemy. Caleb knew, God's given me that mountain. No giant can stop me. No wall can keep me out. That's God's will. That's God's will for us, that we understand the place he's called us to take for him. This generation has been robbed of their destiny by being taught that we have no inheritance until we die and go to heaven. We've been taught by popular books and movies, like Great Planet Earth, Left Behind. I believe in the second coming of Christ, but I believe the devil's not taking over. And you better shake yourself out of the grip of that negativism, because God wants to use you. He can't use you for positive things as long as you're engulfed in negative theology. You can't transform anything you don't believe is transformable. But there's no such place. There's no such thing as an unredeemable person. There's no such place as an unredeemable place. Stop acting like our government can't change. Stop acting like Hollywood can't change, or Wall Street. Stop acting like Islam is greater than Christianity. Stop acting like humanism or Buddhism. All those isms have no power to transform the world except what is lent them by a church in retreat. But once we pray, your kingdom come, Papa, your will be done on earth, things begin to shift and change. So Caleb said, I want my inheritance. I pray today that you see. Okay, Luke 4 in your notes. Jesus is in the temptation. The devil taking him on high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. The devil said, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for it has been delivered. The word delivered is paradidome, which means betrayed. All this authority I will give you. It's been betrayed to me in the garden. Adam betrayed the ownership, the jurisdictional authority of the earth by sin to Satan. Christ came and took the keys of hell and death. Christ conquered us, redeemed us from the curse of the law, and then made us agents of transformational change by bringing his kingdom. He said, when you pray, pray the kingdom of God to come, his will to be done on earth in Arizona, in California, in Texas, wherever you live, wherever you are, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, in the islands of the sea. God says, there's no place I can't bring my place. If you'll pray the prayer that says, this is time for the kingdom to come, Satan says, I can give you all these kingdoms if you worship me. Jesus said, shut up, devil! It is written, you will worship the Lord God. The things you bow to on the way up the mountain, you serve at the top of the mountain. It's Jesus knew he couldn't have heaven's authority when he bowed to hell's strongholds. The things you conquer when no one's looking, you'll rule over when everyone's looking. The things you conquer in the valley of temptation, you'll rule over in the mountain of influence. The things you defeat in private, you'll rule over in public. Right now, if you're in some kind of battle, don't give up. Even though no one's watching, someday people will look at your victory and say, thank you for overcoming. Thank you for triumphing over that. Thank you for not quitting, not giving up, not stopping. In your notes, you know, I've written a 200-page book called Turn the World Upside Down, really about finding your destiny. We talk about the seven mountains here. These mountains represent the entirety of life, coined by our friend Lance Wall now, seven mountains of influence or culture. You can see them: family, church, business, government, education, arts, and media. Every person in this room has a jurisdictional authority, a divine inheritance in at least one and most likely several of those mountains. You can tell where you have a, if Pastor, I don't know my destiny. Look at your history. Every place Satan's attacked you, God wants to turn it around and give you authority. For all your shame, I'll give you double honor. And in this land, I'll give you double. God said to a broken people, in the very place where Satan's attacked you, I'm going to give you victory. If your family has been the main source of your hurt and heartache, your family will be the main source of your victory and testimony. If your business has been, if Satan keeps attacking your money and business, then God wants to turn it around. In government, art, whatever it is, if you had a creative gift that's been drowned in the sorrows, discouragement, the labors of life, God wants to resurrect your gift in music and arts, whatever it is, and make it shine. If you've had the media come after you, you need to be a voice for them. We need believers in the media that are bold like Caleb, unafraid to speak the truth, to proclaim life, and to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 5. I'm not going to finish this message. I'm just telling myself that so I don't worry about time. You can finish it on your own. Verse 8, when he had taken the scroll, Jesus, the four living creatures, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. This is so important because whenever someone consigns the entire book of Revelation for the millennial reign, well, we don't need prayers in the millennium. Jesus is on earth. The New Jerusalem is on earth. He's ruling and reigning. Everything shifts. And we have to stop acting like between now and then we just have to gird it, we'd have to grit our teeth and bear it. Hide under the piano, pray for the rapture. It's amazing. Every time anything negative happens, Facebook, like, the Lord's coming soon. Stop being afraid. And stop being on the retreat. Okay. Which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, prophetic song, saying, you are worthy, Jesus, to take the scroll, open its seals, for you were slain, had redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. 100 nations now in CFDN. 100 nationalities in our church, probably many more now. We are a church that's tearing down racism and prejudice. We're setting an example to our community and especially to the church world. God, forgive us in the church for our racism. Forgive us for having all black or all white or all Hispanic or all Asian churches. We want to be a rainbow and reflect heaven on earth. We want to show the city how to live as a community. We want to show them God's love is colorblind, and he makes us love each other no matter what color we are. You redeemed us and made us, verse 10, kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. God's raising up a generation of kings and priests. You are a king and a priest. You are a king to rule over Satan, to transform the world. You're a priest to worship God like we so beautifully, intimately did. We worship God with abandon and passion and humility and surrender. But then as we walk, we worship him with just the linen of our priestly clothes on. But as we walk out the door, the king says, oh, don't forget. Here's your sword. Here's your shield. Here's your crown. Go get him, Mikey. Go rule for me. Go transform for me. Go conquer the devil for me. Come on. We leave here as kings. If you don't lock into that, we will be like Moses. And God will have to raise up our children and tell them it's your turn. Okay, next verse. I looked and heard the voices of many angels around the throne, verse 11. The elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, blessing, and glory. I was reading that last year, and I finally got it. 25 years ago, I wrote the book, The Joshua Generation, and I talked about the seven strongholds, the seven giants. In family, it was discouragement. In the church, it's pride, the stronghold. In business, it's greed. In education, it's humanism. In government, it's corruption. In the arts, it's immorality. In the media, it's fear. I saw the negative side, but last year I saw the promise. God doesn't want us just to bind the devil. He wants us to unleash heaven. God wants us to transform. Here's what he said. He went to a mountain, a city called Kirjath Arba, because who's ever in charge gets to name their city. And Caleb said, I'm taking this city back. And he named it Hebron, communion or association. And Hebron became one of the most important cities in all of Israel, a city of refuge and where many patriarchs were buried. He transformed it. He changed its culture. And when you change its culture, you change its identity. And when you change its identity, you uncover its true meaning and name. And when I was reading this and I found a blessing. Every family has blessing. God wants you to find the blessing of your family. In the church, it's strength. In business, it's riches. Stop acting like prosperity's from the devil. God needs to bless somebody that he can trust so he can use them to bless somebody that's in need. And when we act like it's almost cute and popular now to have statism, to have segments in our society where we mock every rich person. Jesus died for rich people as much as poor people. Can I have an amen from all the poor people? In education, there's wisdom in it. In government, there's honor. In arts, there's glory. In media, there's power. All these seven names, all these seven specific glories given to Christ in praise are the promises of the seven mountains. I saw it. So God says, you pray on your mountain until the blessing of your family comes into your life. I don't care how many dysfunctional generations there's been somewhere up that family. God called your family. He anointed them. He empowered them. He embedded into the DNA of your family blessings. I don't care how many cursings and failure. There's blessings in your family. In the church, stop giving up in the church. If you're a church hater, then God wants to change your mind because there's blessings in the church. The church is the equipping agent of the kingdom of God to prepare you for the destiny of your life. When you don't have the equipping, you can't fulfill the destiny. And God's making a new wineskin. In business, God's raising up people he can trust with resources. They won't devour them on their own wants, but will be stewards of obedience and use them as God directs them. In government, God's tearing down corruption and raising up a spirit of honor. In education, God's going to help the spirit of humanism be replaced by divine wisdom. Y'all with me? In the arts and entertainment, the spirit, passionate people are subject often to the sins of passion. But God wants you to overcome immorality, and you're a creative person. You can enter into a glory that's unspeakable. That God, the best music has not been written. The best books have not been written. The greatest scientific breakthroughs haven't happened. We're at a time where the tearing open of heavens and apostolic reformation, and God's ready to shake the world through you and I, a generation, a Joshua generation that knows. And no matter where you are in life, God wants you in this moment simply to say, God, show me my mountain. And then you say back to him, now give me the mountain you showed me. And when giants, Caleb said, I'm not afraid of those giants. Because if God said it's mine, nothing can defeat me in my purpose following him. I want to pray for you. I'm at point one of my 4-point sermon. I surrender. There it goes. We're having a prayer revival here. Prayer, 10 weeks of prayer. I'm hoping it will last longer, but we have 10 weeks at least. It's your time to find your mountain. It's your time to find your mountain. In my life, I've watched God bring supernatural restoration in every place the enemy brought devastation. I have found my purpose by allowing God to restore my losses. I have found my purpose by overcoming strongholds in the family I was raised in. Give me my mountain. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to know my mountain. I'm not sure that I know it. That's my prayer. I want to pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, show me. The Holy Spirit is God's earthly governor to reveal to us the will of God through the illumination of scriptures, through visions, dreams, and prophecies. The Holy Spirit is here on a mission to help us get it, our purpose. And once you discover your purpose, you awaken your passion. And nobody prays better than passionate people. You with me? Kids, who's going to pray for dinner? Okay, I'll pray. Lord, bless our food. Find something they're passionate about. Hey, let's pray about the game tonight. Oh, God, help us win. God, give us strength. Give us favor. When you find your passion, prayer then is not a discipline or a duty. It's a delight and joy because you can't wait to talk to heaven about what heaven's talked to you. Stand on your feet, everybody. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? If you say, Pastor Mike, I want to know my destiny. I'm not sure that I know it. I want clarity. I'm asking God for clarity. I believe this service was for you. If that's you, just raise your hands. Wherever you are in the church, we're going to pray for it. God's going to help you. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you. I'm thinking about having a whole month here and sometime in the fall where every service is a prophetic service. We just prophesy over 5,000 people in a month and helping you through prophecy maybe get closer to the understanding of your purpose. But whatever it takes, we want you to get it. I've written a book called Turn the World Upside Down. I'm not trying to sell my book, but I do recommend it for people looking for their destiny. So if that's you, Pastor, I don't know my destiny. I want to know it. Lift your hands. Father, I pray for every person here that doesn't know their mountain specifically, clearly, or dynamically. Come on, if you don't know where your mountain is and you want clarity about it, just raise your hands right now. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I pray for a season of illumination, of revelation, of direction, of guidance beyond anything they've known. God, give them clarity. Awaken old memories. Awaken historical realities. Show them childhood desires. Restore to them revelation about their family and its inheritance. Give them, God, prophetic insight to their future. Show them why they're here, why they're alive, why, like Caleb, they've been sustained, why they're strong. Give them, God, a purpose. I pray for every boomer, 45 and older. God, let them be Joshua's and Caleb's, Mr. and Mrs. Joshua and Caleb's. Give them a resurrection of purpose. Awaken their passions and point them to their mountain and give them such a boldness that they pray earth-shaking prayers. Give me my mountain. I pray for everyone 45 and younger, God, the millennials, the Generation X's, and the children. I pray, God, that this would be a church where they are downloaded into their destiny, that they're released to be history makers and world shakers. Show them early what they're going to do late. Give them Joseph experiences of visions and dreams and prophecies. God, reveal your purpose and plan. In Jesus' name, I encourage everyone here to keep seeking God. I was sleeping in London, England, 2 years ago, my first trip there. And God woke me up and said, you have an inheritance in England. I will not stop going back there the rest of my life because God told me I have authority there. I was in Southern California ministering 2 years ago. And the Lord said to me when I was praying for a service, you have an inheritance in Southern California. I know those three places, here, there, and there, that God's going to do great things in California, Phoenix, and London. But my story's no different than yours. You have a destiny, and God's going to show it to you. Keep pressing into God. Keep pursuing Him. Keep singing that song like BJ sang, more and more and more, until God does it. This morning, as we dismiss, I want to give anyone who wants prayer today a chance for prayer. If you're hurting, if you want further prayer, if you made a commitment for Christ today, if you as a Christian have not yet received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they gift of a heavenly language. If you're wondering why people talk in tongues here, it's the gift of tongues that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'd love to pray for you today. If you're going through a hellish time and just want someone to pray the prayer of faith over you, come and receive prayer. Anyone wanting prayer, come forward. The rest of you, just for a moment longer, lift your hands and sing this wonderful song. Come on, we want more and more and more. Make it your prayer today.
We want more. We want more. We want more. We want more.
Come on, sing it. We want more. God, our prayer.
We want more. We want more. We want more. We want more.
I love you, you're an awesome church. I'll be ministering.